Welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And thanks so much for taking the time to join us on the Thursday edition of our broadcast as we continue to develop our theme in living in the light of eternity. And today, we'll be focused on the subject of suffering, something that touches, I think, every single one of us, or if not us personally, those that we love and care about, and the subject of death, leaving this life, this temporal existence, and moving on into our forever home with Christ himself. So suffering and death, how do we come to grips with these two realities in our lives, and especially in light of the eternal perspective that God has given us? Well, thanks so much for joining us for the podcast today. We hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next 45 minutes or so. And we hope that you'll subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. My name is Pastor John Love. I'll be your host for the next 45 minutes or so. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Tom Sliva. Pastor Tom is one of the staff pastors here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, and he will be, again, our special guest for the next 45 minutes or so as we help to develop this theme. And, of course, we look to you, our listeners, for some help to develop this theme as well. You can join us. The phone lines are open during the broadcast. That means you can take the opportunity, pick up a phone, dial one of these numbers, and share your thoughts with us, a comment perhaps, or a question that you have about this sometimes, difficult theme for us to absorb in our lives, which is this theme of suffering and death. And of course, as believers, we should certainly have a confidence and an assurance that both our suffering and the day that we leave this world, we will move confidently into the very presence of God himself. So again, welcome to today's broadcast. Here are the telephone numbers. Toll free in all of North America, that's 800-338-7060. Once again, 800-338-7060. And the local number here in Baltimore, you can join us by dialing 410-483-3700. And Pastor Tom, welcome to the broadcast. You've got to pull that microphone in nice and close to you so we can hear your comments. You might want to get even closer, pull it right up a couple of inches from, you can adjust it as you see necessary.
Okay.
But as we begin today's broadcast, what are the first and foremost thoughts that come to your mind when you think about these two, suffering and death?
Yeah. When I first heard of the topic, I thought of this verse in 1 Timothy 6. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Paul's writing to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession. Swore many witnesses. But my first thought is the idea of grasping, you know, get a grip on eternity is an essential, I believe it's an essential principle which can give us perspective, you know, in relationship to whatever we go through here, even the severe things. It can be a tremendous help for us. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean that it's delivering me right out of my difficult situation, but it may get me through it. It might be a good perspective on the other side of it. But anyhow, just a couple thoughts. Eternal life, laying hold on eternal life. He talks about it again in verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So it's not just the fact that I'm going to be with him for eternity, but living in that reality day to day, day by day, that this could be the day I will live forever, you know. I will live forever. And anyhow, great perspective to have. So
yeah, it certainly does give us that. And it is interesting, you know, when you talk about, you know, getting a grip on eternity and then coming to grips with our own mortality, to know that every day we wake up, we have to remind ourselves, this could be my last day that I live. Because we're not promised to live here forever, but we are promised that we will live forever in God's presence. So when is that day coming? We don't know. But every day is a gift, and we should just, you know, take full advantage of it. But to keep suffering and death in perspective is so vital. Mm. It's so important. I've always found it fascinating when we read in the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, and this deals with the conversion of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, you know, fervently in his mind serving God by trying to put a stop to this new faith called Christianity, signing papers, mm-hmm. having Christians imprisoned, and in some cases even having them put to death. And while he's on this road to Damascus, that's when Christ appears to him. And then he's blinded, and then he is told to go into a certain city, and he would meet a man named Ananias. God would speak to Ananias and say, Saul of Tarsus is coming to your house. I have chosen him. Verse 15 of Acts chapter 9, God says to Ananias, Paul is a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And then he said this, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. I mean, think about that. That's like, you know, getting your marching orders from God, and the number one priority is I'm calling you to suffer.
Amazing.
It does make you wonder if, you know, Saul of Tarsus would have had some kind of natural sense to say, well, that's great, but perhaps you could get someone else for the job. But isn't suffering essential in the life of the believer? And can't we come to this reality as well, that suffering for the believer is never without a purpose?
Hmm. I agree. I think Paul had come to a place in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 where he, you know, I often thought of this verse, but Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 12, around verse 9 and 10, he says, I would rather glory in my infirmities, you know, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. And, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that's an incredible thing where Paul, just as human as anybody, called to suffer, but comes to a place where he says, oh, I see that this suffering thing is something that I instead of fighting against it, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to actually embrace it. He even says, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And I don't know about you, but that is one amazing statement. You know, that's a very bold. I mean, I don't think Paul arrived at that conclusion in the immediate, you know. I think it took a while. You know, I think he went through a lot of things, and probably like many of us, and naturally, and also, you know, we have Job as an example. Nobody's happy with suffering. Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. Nobody's like, no, this is wrong. I mean, you know, we're just so conditioned that this is wrong. And but Paul is actually saying, I get it. I think I get it. I get purpose. There's purpose in this. And it's for my sake, in a sense. So So amazing, you know, just a brief thought.
Well, it does make sense when you think about Christ himself. We have to ask the obvious question, did Christ suffer? And the answer
absolutely.
Is absolutely. Now, I'm not suggesting that the suffering was even limited to the cross. We know about the suffering of the cross. We know that the sins of the whole world were placed upon him, and he bore the judgment for the sin of the whole world. So just set aside that suffering for a moment, and then think of the suffering that he endured while he began his public ministry. There was misunderstanding. There was hatred. There was rejection. There was ridicule. There was confusion about his identity. Who was he? There was the constant confrontation with the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, always falsely accused, always people misunderstanding who he was and what he was saying. And then, of course, he's the pattern for the believer. In other words, Jesus never said, look, I know they hate me, but don't worry about that. They're going to love you. He didn't say that. He said, if they hated me, they will hate you. If they misunderstand me, they will misunderstand you. If they reject me, they will probably reject you. And on it goes. So he's the pattern. So why would we think that we are going to go through this life and escape suffering? Because God seems to, and you just shared it, and we're going to continue to talk about and develop it, God seems to say that this is going to be part and parcel of your life.
Yeah.
So as you said, to use those words, embrace it.
Yeah.
Don't run from it. I know that sometimes when the old adage that when you feel the heat, get out of the kitchen, God would say, no, stay in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because in all reality, he might even say, I'm probably going to turn the heat up even hotter.
Mm. And if we get out of the kitchen, which all of us have done for the first 90 times, that we experienced, then we didn't really see any purpose. We didn't get the purpose in the suffering, I think Paul was at a pivotal place in 2 Corinthians where he was starting to see, there's purpose. Now, okay, I knew about this suffering. Okay, I'm called to it, okay. But now I'm starting to see purpose in it. I see purpose in it. So I mean, this is, we're talking, I'm an old guy, but I can talk about these things, but the thing is, there purpose in suffering? There has to be. There just has to be. Because randomness is just not God. It's just not God's way. And it's so easy to say, well, that was a speed bump in my... No, it wasn't. There was purpose in that. There was purpose in that speed bump, or whatever it is that we participate in. Unwillingly, these things come upon us. It's an interesting progression, I think, of understanding suffering, really. And I think I've seen in my own life that, if I'm going to continue with God, I have to understand some things. And I think that was it was Job's deal, God, you got to show me what's going on. And he did, and God did. God did show him in his own way, But it's not wrong to ask questions. It's not wrong to, to be, amiss or to feel like I'm, what is this? I mean, this persecution, is this chastening? What is going on, It's not wrong to have all those thoughts and really to not even like it, but to find purpose in it is a great, great place to come, because I think it can help us tremendously going forward. Because like you said, suffering is just a part of life. It's just a part of life, and it doesn't go away because we think we've been through enough of it. Mm-hmm. I've had enough. Okay. Yeah, I'm good now.
Yeah, no, you're right. You mentioned Paul speaking about his own life in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, glorying in tribulations. Earlier in the book of Romans, he said, we glory in tribulation. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. James writes about the fact that we should count it all joy when we fall into various and diverse testings and trials. And sometimes the trials of life include some suffering.
Yeah.
Maybe not even sometimes, might be all the time. And then, you know, this seems such a contradiction there when you put the word glory and tribulation in the same sentence. It just doesn't seem to add up unless you have a spiritual approach, a spiritual frame of reference, the perspective that you mentioned about suffering in the life of the believer. Because listen to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. He begins by saying, but the God of all grace. Now, you know, a lot of believers say, I don't even want to talk about suffering. Yeah. They meet believers, and believers want to talk about their experience and what they went through and how God did this or God did that. And they're like, I don't want to have to go through anything. I want just God to keep pouring out his grace in my life. But listen to this, that the God of all grace, again, some people want to stop right there and say, good, that's what I'm looking for, all grace. But the next verse says, or the next part of that verse says, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Yeah. Well, there it is.
Wow.
It's going to be the God of all grace who's called us into his eternal glory. And think about it. Our theme this week in the Grace Hour is living in the light of eternity. Well, he's talking here in verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 5, about eternal glory through Christ. But in the same sentence, he says, after you have suffered a while. I mean, that to me puts it in perspective right there.
Yeah.
You've got eternal glory. That's our destiny. That's where we're headed as believers.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen. It's going to become real after we have suffered a while.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing thoughts. Yeah. That gives us a little hope also in our suffering, that verse. You know, like, after you have suffered a while, you know, then something good is going to happen. And that's the reality of it, too, because sometimes people say, well, okay, a life of suffering. Well, it's not really that way. It's periods of time.
That's right.
You know, it's short ones or long ones, right? I think Paul or Peter said, right?
That's right.
Oligon, Arte, the short trial, the longer trial. Sometimes it's a couple of days. Sometimes, but we also have periods in mixed in there that are, you know, we can call them, we're on the mountaintop.
That's
right. We're experiencing a lot of joy and love and grace and just bliss. You know, we're enjoying the blessings of God. You know. In the mix, and so, it's good.
It is, and Carol has written into us and said, "Well, what is the fellowship of his sufferings?" Well, Paul writes about that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, when he said, "I want to know him, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection." And again, right there, believers say, "Well, yeah, that's it. I want to live in the power of his resurrection." But he also says, "And the fellowship of his sufferings."
Yes.
When we suffer, we are actually partaking and fellowshipping with Christ in the midst of those sufferings.
Hmm.
And again, we're born of God. And if we are the offspring of God, so to speak, and we are his brethren, which we read about in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 10 and 11, well, then we too are going to experience those sufferings. But You ask any believer, Pastor Tom, if we had believers join us on the program this morning, and we hope some of you will, give us a call, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. Locally in Baltimore, you can join us at 410-483-3700. They called in. they would be able to say, look, God did some of his best work in my life during those times when I suffered.
Yeah.
I don't think that any believer could possibly call in and say, oh, no, it was a waste of time. It just was a detour in my life. It wasn't necessary. I don't know why God did it. You don't hear that.
No.
What you hear is, I needed it. I was absolutely grateful when it was all said and done that, you know, God gave me a chance to get to know him in the midst of my affliction. The psalmist put it this way, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But to go back to the point that you just made, he said, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Hmm. Psalm 34, verse 19. And that's the truth. We're not always going to suffer.
Yeah.
We're going to have moments where we can, for lack of a better way of saying it, we can kind of come up for some air. But suffering is part and parcel. It's really par for the Christian's course, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, very good. I was reminiscing a little bit because it was a time I did a lot of hospital visitation, and the COVID season kind of put a damper on that a little bit, but we visited a lot of people, and when I first started visiting people, I thought, well, I'm going there to bring comfort in some way to these precious people, you know, think about what they're going through or whatever. But what I found, and this is just my personal experience, what I found is that they ministered to me more than I ministered to them. Because they were in the middle of it, and they were in the fellowship of his sufferings, if we could use that verse, and they were fellowshipping with God. And God was teaching them. God was ministering to them. God was fellowshipping with them. And some of the things I heard from people in hospitals were absolutely profound. You know, just deep truths and deep understanding of things. I always thought about how interesting that was. And so I didn't go with my guns loaded so much after that. I just went with my ears perked up, you know. Mm. And it went that way a lot of times, so.
God in his faithfulness. I think of what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 67. There seems to be a progression here in these verses. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, having been afflicted, I have kept your word. Then in verse 71, it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And again, this affliction is no doubt there was suffering in the life of the psalmist. Mm. And then in verse 75, as this progression continues, he says, I know, Lord, that your judgments are right and that you have in your faithfulness afflicted me. I mean, that's incredible. Mm. He said, before the suffering, before the affliction, it was easy for me to get off track. It was easy for me to go astray. It was my nature as we're all like sheep. We have that tendency, that built-in natural propensity to go astray. But now, because of the affliction, because of the suffering, I've kept your word. And it's good for me that I've had this suffering in my life. I can learn more about you and your character and your mercy and your grace and your patience. And then in verse 75, he says, I realize now that God, it was your faithfulness that afflicted me. I mean, that's so counter to the natural man's way of thinking. The natural man thinks this way, if there is a God who cares, who created the world, who created me, who supposedly is a God of love, then I would never be afflicted. There would never be war. There would never be heartache. There would never be suffering and disaster. Well, we live in a sinful and broken world, but God has found a way to use those things to develop the lives of his children.
Yeah, that's you hit the nail on the head right there, because there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and this is my personal testimony, but like you were just saying, sometimes we think about suffering a certain way, but how about this way of thinking about it, which I think is something that, you know, maybe God kind of showed to me in one of my many dark times, you know, of life. You know, like, why are we doing this again and again and again? And I don't think that we really know as human beings, and I say this to myself as much as anybody else, and we don't really know the depth of our depravity. We don't know how inept we are. We don't really know how we are conditioned to pride. We're conditioned to go astray. We don't know how impossible it is for God to use us without humility. You know, because if he has to spend all his time resisting us because of our pride, then it's not so easy for God to use us, you know, in 2 Corinthians, by comforting us and then the same comfort we give to others, you know. So God is interested in giving us a ministry, but we are so much not getting the point, you know. We are so much not getting at what God is wanting to do. And God just showed me, Tom, I could never use you if I didn't bring adversity in your life because you're just too stinking proud. to say it plainly.
Yeah. That is, I know what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And I think it rings true with our listeners as well. But that whole principle of, because as we go through, we can get so short-sighted within our own lives and think, oh, okay, God, why the suffering? Why the affliction? And then, again, what are we doing? But we're asking God, you know, isn't it all about me? Isn't it all about, you know, giving me the best possible life I can have here and now? But God says, don't you realize that in your suffering, you mentioned it, ministry comes out of you. He might even say to us, listen, am I developing you in the midst of your suffering? Sure I am. But it's not just about you.
Yeah.
It's about the ministry that you will carry to those who will suffer after you. And how will you be able to comfort them? How will you be able to identify with them? How will you be able to give them what I want to give them unless you yourself have been there and walked in those same shoes? Yeah. Sometimes we don't even see that. We're so caught up with ourselves and why, you know? And then we move on from why am I suffering to how long? How long will I suffer, Lord? Again, that's so self-focused. Mm. God says, look, I want you to see the bigger picture. It's not just about you. Or it is about you, to be sure. I'm not overlooking you. I'm not using you as a pawn in my plan to minister to others. You're my focus, but you're not my only focus.
Yeah,
I need you to be able to bring a ministry to help those who are suffering and afflicted. Last night with the athletes in New York, our chapel service, we talked about from Malachi chapter 3, as God is depicted as the refiner of silver. Mm. And he sits as the refiner of silver. And what does he do? But he turns up the heat. He intensifies the heat, and all of the impurities and all of the dross rises to the surface, and he removes that, all of those impurities, to purify the silver. Well, a woman inquired as to what that process looked like, so she sought out a refiner of silver, and she went, and he allowed her to observe him as he underwent the process of refining the silver, and she realized that the intensity of the fire was over the top. And at the same time, she asked him a question. As that process is ongoing, do you ever get up? Do you ever leave that seat? And he answered and said, no, never. I sit here during the entire process. Wow. What a picture of God in the midst of our suffering. He never leaves.
Yeah.
He never for a moment takes his eye off of us.
Yeah.
He is present. We sometimes question that. We sometimes doubt that. We sometimes cry out in our hearts and say, God, where are you? But he says, I am right here. I am present. I don't leave this seat. And the promise that he gives us in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no test, no trial, no matter how intense the heat may be, no trial will ever overcome you, but I will, because of my faithfulness, provide a way of escape so that you can get through it and endure it. I mean, that's the nature of our God. So as we said earlier, and you said it earlier, Pastor, nothing is wasted. No suffering is wasted. All of it is fulfilling his great purpose in our lives.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, very good thoughts. We're like in a test tube with God, and he's carefully watching us. I had the thought about, is it 1 Corinthians 10:13, he will not test us above what, he will not test us above what we are able.
Mm-hmm.
All temptation is common to man, right? It's common to man. But God will with the temptation make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it.
That's
there
right.
You are again. Mm-hmm. We're not running out of the kitchen. God's promises to give me something so I can deal with it right in the middle of it. In a sense, he's what he's saying there. But the thought I had was maybe you have already come to this point in your life where you say, wait a minute, I've been in stuff that's way over my head, you know? And I thought about that also one time. I'm thought about, that verse doesn't make any sense to me. But but here's the thought, like if it wasn't like that, then it wouldn't be suffering. Like God is bringing things in our lives, and if there was no challenge in them, then it wouldn't be a test. You know, if it wasn't above my head somewhat, then it wouldn't be suffering. So God is bringing the thing in, and we have to trust Him. We trust Him that it's not above me. That somehow I'll be able to get through this. That this is not going to be, you know, like this is not. Utter God has not forsaken me, which is what we could feel like so often. Like God doesn't even care about me. And the immediate thought that I get every time about is God is chasing me again. You know, this is just chastisement. What is my sin, God? You know, what am I sinning? And sometimes it is sin, and maybe all of my suffering is because of sin. I don't know. I really don't know. But nevertheless, I love what you said. I love what you said about God just watching closely. And, you know, in all of our afflictions, he is afflicted. I believe it says in Isaiah? Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And we have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmity, because having suffered unbelievable, Christ, our high priest, is able to succor them, and comfort those, right, who in suffering. And so anyhow, we come boldly to throne of grace for grace and mercy to help in time of need. So anyhow, so God is, and you know, and I love also Lamentations chapter 3, it says that God does not afflict willingly, you know, to trample under feet the sons of men, and it says, I'm trying to think of these off the top of my head, but the Lord approves not to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approves not, you know, so God is not afflicting willingly, you know, like in God's mind, if there was another way, he would do it. He would do it some other way. I mean, I've come to that conclusion. There just is no other way.
That's right.
It's what works.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that works.
You're right. And I think you mentioned earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where how God comforts us in our tribulation so that we in turn can comfort those who are in any trouble. And if you keep reading in that first chapter of 2 Corinthians, he reaches this point where he said, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us while we were in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we even despaired of life." And he says in verse 9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." Why? "That we would not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead."
Amazing.
If suffering serves that purpose, to bring us to a place where we no longer are trusting ourselves,
yeah,
but we've learned to trust God, then it has accomplished God's great eternal purpose.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul said. He said, that's what happened.
Mm.
And we were just, you know, it was over, right? He uses the words, pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired of life and had the sentence of death in us. But this death that he's speaking about, this was not his physical death at this point, but it was the death of self, which was just the door that opened to the resurrection life that God wants to come forth from all of his children in the midst of their suffering. Mm-hmm. And again, this is such a vital theme for us to understand because it is going to happen in the lives of believers. And, you know, if God did give us, if every day was just sunshine, what would you have? A desert.
Yeah.
That's all. You'd have a life with no real life. You'd have a religion without any real relationship with God. You'd have a form of godliness, but there would be no power. And God wants us to have the reality, the truth of what it means to have a life that exudes Christ, that Christ can come forth. That's why Paul said it. He said, you know, for me to live, it's Christ.
Yeah.
And then to die, that's the ultimate promotion, isn't it?
Yeah.
To die is gain. And we know this, and that's why I love a young boy who was with his mother, and they drove by the cemetery, and his mother said to him, "Do you know what that place is?" And the boy said, "Yeah." He says, "That's where they plant people." He didn't say that we would, like many of us would say, that's where people are buried. Yeah. He said, "No, that's where they plant people, because when you plant something, the intent is that life is going to come forth from what you planted."
I love it.
And life comes forth out of our death, practically speaking, spiritually speaking, here and now. But then eternity, of course, that's when we start our forever life in our forever homes.
Yeah.
Final thoughts as we wrap up today's broadcast?
Yeah. Since you alluded to the subject of dying, death and dying, and which is the end of all of us, right? You know, so there's no way around that, you know. but to comfort all those who, all their lifetimes feared death, you know, like this is a great purpose of God in all of his dealings with us, and you know, tasting death, of course, for every man. That for all of those who all their lifetime feared death, Like God is really, I think it would be no greater joy for God if the fear of death was not there anymore. I mean, if we could say, just, hey, you know, like, just like Paul said, you know, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, what a secret to life. What a secret to life that would be for us, you know. And we all are getting there, or have it to some degree, mm-hmm. or, you know, some more than others, maybe, you know. Mm. But I think God came to give us life, and life abundantly, and we couldn't discern his way, but this is his way. This is the way to life. The way to life is to look at death square in the face and realize it has no dominion over me. I mean, what a thing, you know, to say, you know. Anyhow, so yeah, that's it. That's
Amen. All I
got. Yeah.
Well, great thoughts. Thank you, Pastor Tom Sliva, for joining us on this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, friends. And we want to thank you for joining us as well. A number of you have weighed in and shared your comments on the chat, and we appreciate those. And we appreciate the fact that you tune in and listen to the Grace Hour. We hope that those of you that do will subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And make your plans to join us for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. That's coming up a little less than 24 hours from now. And you can join us again as we wrap up this theme of what it means to live our lives in the light of eternity. Thanks again for joining us. Until tomorrow, have a great day.